الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، وأكمل لنا ديننا وتم علينا نعمه ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا، فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد، كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما، وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل، لقد نسبت به نسلا لذي أقمي، أمرتك الخير لكن ما تمرت به، وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقمي. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين، بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء عظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاه والأكم، روحي الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم، هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا، يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Respected elders and friends, and our young brothers who will be the leaders of tomorrow, first and foremost, as the practice of my very, very honorable, illustrious Ustad and Sheikh, as Moana has mentioned, Hazrat Moana Shah Abdul Hamid Sahab, Arif Billah, who have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and alhamdulillah, who has taught us the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat teaches us that before every gathering, before every majlis, firstly discuss one of the sunnats of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because today, myself, all of us here, we haven't realized the value of the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when a person doesn't know the value of something, he doesn't appreciate that thing. For example, one ustad was teaching his students, and he told his students, I will teach you such a masala that it is better than this whole world and whatever it contains. And obviously, one masala of deen cannot be compared to all the gold and silver of this world. But we don't know the value of one masala of deen. That is why we don't endeavor in this path to become alim, hafiz. This is a very, very great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not any ordinary person can just take it up. My honorable illustrious dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahab rahmatullah used to say so beautifully, agar tu chahe hame hai karam aapka, warna ham chahane ki to kabil hi nahi. That wallahi, if you choose me, then I am not worthy of it in the least, but it is only your special favor that you have chosen me. From all the youngsters here, so many are out in the streets, so many are out in the clubs, so many are watching movies, etc. Allah has chosen me and you to be sitting in the masjid, in the house of Allah, to enjoy the special favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't realize the value of it in this world, definitely when our eyes close, when you leave the world, then you realize the great value of this. So when Ustad taught his students that one lesson I will teach you, you might feel it's difficult, you want to go play, etc. But this lesson is better than the whole world in whatever it contains. So the student sat for the lesson very happily, attentively he sat. After the lesson, it was time now to chutti, to go home. And he was living in the darloom, he had to fix his sandal was broken. So he decided, let me go to the shoemaker and ask him to fix my sandal. When he went to the shoemaker told him, asked him, how much you'll pay me to fix your sandal? He said, I'll teach you one masala. The shoemaker got upset. He says, what have I got to do with one masala? I want my 5 rupees or my 10 rupees. Because where does the shoemaker know the value of one masala? So the student felt very sad. He felt that the ustad said one masala better than the whole world and whatever it contains. It can't even fix my sandal. So what was the worth of that masala? The next day the student came to class. He was looking very sad, upset. The ustad made out very, very quickly. And this is why we should keep company with the ulama-i rabbaniyin. Those ulama who have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll make out our condition. They'll give us the treatment very, very easily. And we'll realize and we won't lose hope and become despondent that I'm becoming hafiz, alim, or I'm not achieving. You'll realize what you are achieving. Anyway, the student felt sad. Ustad said, what's wrong? He said, Hazrat, you said one masala you'll teach me is better than the whole world and whatever it contains. I went to the shoemaker, he can't even fix my shoe with that masala. So Hazrat realized that the student also still doesn't know the value of that masala and the shoemaker also doesn't know. So to show him an outward example, a material example, he called one of his close assistants, his khadims, the ustad. He told that take the student, go home first. At home I've got a safe. In there I've got one stone, a very valuable diamond. Take that diamond and go with the student to the shoemaker. And when you are the shoemaker asks you what you'll pay to fix his shoe, tell him you'll give him the stone. When they went to the shoemaker with that stone, when they asked the shoemaker asked, what you'll give me to fix the shoe, to your sandal? He said, I'll give you the stone. He took the stone, he threw it one side. He said, what must I do with that stone? I want 2 rupees, I want 10 rupees. So when they came back to the ustad, then the ustad realized, the shoemaker doesn't know the value of one masala, he doesn't know the value of diamonds and gold. He only know that the value of fixing up shoes. Then the ustad to show the student also the value of that stone and then make him realize the value of one masala with regard to the akhirat. The ustad told this person, go with the student to the jewelry market where they are selling gold and silver. Go and ask them what they will pay the price for the stone. When they went to the bazaar where they were selling jewelry, then all the jewelers, they looked at that stone, they said, we can't pay for this. This is a very, very expensive diamond. Maybe only the king of this time, he will be able to pay for it. And when they went to the king and they showed him this diamond, he said, oh, this is a very, very expensive diamond. Then the student realized that such an expensive diamond, even the king can't pay for it. The shoemaker doesn't know the value of it. Exactly the same. Today, me and you don't know the value of one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the value of Nike and Adidas and all the fashions, and those things don't have value whatsoever. For example, the world has made us such fools that their adverts, they make us wear, and free of charge, we advertising for them. We will put on Nike and Adidas and all on our clothing and walk in the house of Allah, not even shy. In front of Allah without realizing this Nike tick that they have put on our clothes, on our techies, on our shoes, etc. This is actually resembling the female Greek goddess. It's a female Greek goddess of victory. That's why normally you find sportsmen, they wear it on their shoes, on their techies, etc. Because they feel with that sign, God will help us. We'll be victorious. And we Muslims don't realize it. And we are wearing good people without realizing who will want to put a cross on him and read namaz. But we come into the masjid with these things. So we should be conscious and realize where is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how low they have stooped us to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken 4 qasams in the Qur'an-i Kareem. And Allah doesn't need to take a qasam. وَمَنْ أَزْدَكُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Normally, a person takes a qasam to show and impress upon his friends, his family, that I'm talking the truth. And sadly, today we talk so much lies, so we have to take qasam and tell, but no, this I'm saying the truth. But even we take qasam and we still tell lies. How sad is our condition today? Allah ta'ala, according to our mizaj, our nature, our tabiat, Allah ta'ala to make us understand our position, how honorable Allah has made us, Allah ta'ala has taken 4 qasams in the Qur'an-i-Kareem.
والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين.
Allah says, by the qasam of the watin, by the olive, by the fig, was zaytun, the qasam of the olive. It means two material things Allah Ta'ala has taken qasam of. That in this world, these are valuable things. And Mufassirin have explained, Allah only takes qasam of that creation which is very, very valuable. That creation of Allah, and Allah can take qasam of His creation. But the creation cannot take qasam of any creation. If we want to take qasam, we can only take qasam of the name of Allah. But we have to respect the name of Allah, not any small thing. We just saying qasam, wallah, all these things. We should respect the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should learn to become truthful, sit in the company of the pious servants of Allah, and learn to correct our language, learn to correct our tongue, speak the truth, and then see our value without taking qasam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that a person, he talks the truth all the time. Till Allah Ta'ala commands the angels that write him down as the Siddiq, the very true, a true person. And on the other end, you get a person, any small thing, he just tells lies, make excuses, especially students. They don't come to class on time, make a trivial excuse and tell lies. But what is happening in the meantime? It is having so much effect on you that finally Allah Ta'ala tells the angels, write this person as a kazab, as a liar. Now when you're really in problem and you need to get some help from somebody, when you ask them and you're telling them the truth, this is a liar, what should we help him? He's making up a story again. So we should learn to talk the truth. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us according to our temperament, our mizaj. Allah Ta'ala is saying that I take qasam of the fig, of the olives, I take qasam of the figs. وَتُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. Then Allah has taken qasam of Turi Sinin, that is Mount Sinai, where Allah Ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam messengership, nabuwat. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to meet Allah on Mount Sinai. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. This very, very honorable, illustrious city of Makkatul Mukarramah. The city where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. Very briefly, just to explain why Allah Ta'ala has taken these four qasams. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that as far as insan is concerned, this human being, Allah has made you of two components. One is your outward body, and one is your reality, your soul, your ruh. Your body is not so important. Your body is just a vehicle. The soul that is inside, that soul that comes from Allah, which is called your life. And with regard to the soul, nobody can understand. The Jews came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they asked, what is the soul? Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They are asking you about this ruh. What is ruh? Allah Ta'ala answered in two words, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّ. This is the command of Allah. As long as Allah's command is in what you, then you'll able to function. Your life will carry on. The moment Allah commands that take out that life, your life is finished now. Your body can be 100%. You can be only 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, still a very healthy young man, doing exercises, jogging on the road. If Allah's command says that take out his soul, that person is now, he just falls down, a dead body. So your reality is not this body. This body is the outward vehicle, and the ruh, your real life, your real person is that soul. And as long as you got a soul in you, you've got a name, you've got respect, you've got honor. When you got a soul in you, they'll call you Abdul Rahman, Ahmad, Muhammad. The moment your soul is gone, now they'll say the janaza of so and so person. The mayat of so and so person. Your name is also gone. So we have to realize. So Allah Ta'ala says, these two components are important. Your body is also important. But more important than your body is your soul. In order to keep your body healthy and fresh and strong, so you can look after the soul, so you can transport your soul, then Allah Ta'ala says, you need nourishment of the body, physical nourishment. And Allah Ta'ala has taught us that if you eat healthy food, halal under all circumstances, a Muslim should be extremely careful that under no circumstances even one morsel of haram should enter his mouth. Not even doubtful food. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who's called the most truthful of the entire ummah, the most honorable personality. On one occasion, he was on one of his travels. He was traveling and he was on the road. He was quite hungry, very, very thirsty also. He met one of his previous workers and he asked him, "Have you got something to drink for me?" The person presented to him milk, goat's milk. When he just took one sip of it, after that, normally, when he used to ask anybody for any food, anything, immediately he used to ask first, what was the source? Where did you get it from? How did you earn it? Today we're not even conscious to find out, is this halal, if it's not halal. And if you ask particularly Muslims today, the whole world has become commercialized. Today even our deen, sadly, we are selling our deen also. Everything is commercial. Advertisements in the masjids to sell our deen. Whereas Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even if you lose an item in the masjid and somebody announced, "I lost something," then tell him, "Allah don't let you find it." The masjid is not for such announcements. The masjid is not for advertisements. But today we have made our masjid advertisements. We have made ourselves bulb boards, as I said. So we should be conscious what we are eating. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked this man, there, he took one sip because he was very thirsty and hungry. Then after that one sip, and according to how you look after your soul and your stomach, if you only eat halal all the time, automatically if something even doubtful goes down your throat, you'll feel the effect. Immediately you'll feel uneasy. Because in English it is said so beautifully, you are what you eat. What you eat, you are. And I'll explain that just now, inshallah. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he took this morsel, immediately asked this, his servant, "Where did you get this milk from?" He says, "In the earlier days I was a fortune teller. And I foretold, and fortune telling is haram. And today we find many places you get these gypsies who want to tell you your fortune. Only Allah knows our fortune. Not even Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could tell anybody his fortune. Only Allah ta'ala knows our fortune." For example, Allahu Akbar, another incident comes to mind. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, a very great imam, and Allah ta'ala gave him the honor. He was living in Medina Sharif. He used to teach lessons in Masjid al-Nabawi, right at the doorstep of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A thought came in his heart, "I want to go for Hajj. I want to go Makkah Sharif, I want to do Hajj." But he was worried, "I mustn't pass away on the way, I want to pass away in Medina Sharif. Allah gave me this honor, I want to pass away in Medina Sharif." And what a great honor, we all should desire this. But actually what we should be desiring, that, "Oh Allah, let me live a life how you are happy, let me die how you are happy. Wherever I can be, as long as you are happy." You can be in Medina Sharif and you pass away, but Allah is not happy with you, there's no value in that. You can be anywhere else in the world, but Allah is happy with you, Allah will transfer your body and your soul to Medina Sharif. And there are incidents with regard to this. Anyway, what I'm mentioning here, that only Nabi sallallahu, nobody besides Allah knows our fortune, knows what is going to happen tomorrow, knows what is our future. So much so, not even Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew this. And that is why we should respect Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the highest position, but don't give him the position of Allah ta'ala. Allah is Allah. Allah knows the unseen. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Those who believe in the unseen, that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's going to happen. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi had this burning desire to go for Hajj, but he was worried also, "I mustn't miss my mort in Medina Sharif. It mustn't be such on the way I pass away." So he made dua to Allah ta'ala. "Oh Allah, give me inspiration. Let me know that where will I pass away? Is it appropriate?" So at night he saw a dream. He saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him five fingers in the dream. So he couldn't understand this dream. He went to a dream interpreter, Hazrat Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi, was a very, very great interpreter of dreams. And dreams are dreams in any case. Some dreams are true, other dreams are just from shaitan. And we mustn't live in a dream world also. Like one person told Hakim ul-Ummah, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, that if you see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a true dream. He said, "Yes, of course, shaitan can't take up the form of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He can take up other forms, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's form he can't take up." So this person said, "So if you see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, it is as if like you have met him." He said, "Yes." So he says, "I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if you met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you are sahabi, you got a great position. So he told Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullahi, and these are the friends of Allah. Their word, their foresight, they'll explain to us and put us down to size immediately. So he told Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullahi, Hakimul Ummat, that I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. So I got the status of the Sahabi. Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullahi said, yes, you got the status of a Sahabi, but a Khabi Sahabi, a dream Sahabi. So that is your dream. Only those people in real life who met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, Nabi Hazrat Imam Malik rahmatullahi saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him the 5 fingers. He couldn't understand. He sent his servant, his special student. He said, go to Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi. Go and ask him the interpretation of this dream. But don't tell him who saw this dream. So when he went to Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi, he said, somebody have sent me. I want the interpretation of this dream. He saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing him 5 fingers. He said, this dream only a very great person can see. So whoever is that person, you first have to inform me, then only I can tell you the dream. He had to go back and ask permission from Imam Malik rahmatullahi. When he asked permission, he said, okay, inform him that I have seen the dream. When he told that Imam Malik rahmatullahi saw the dream, he said, of course, it can only be the Imam of the time who have seen this dream. Then he explained that this dream, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that what you are asking, where you are going to pass away, that also I don't even know. There are 5 things which nobody knows when and exactly when it's going to occur. And Allah ta'ala has mentioned it in one ayat, in the 21st para. Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَوْ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. That inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah, the exact date, the exact time of Qiyamah, nobody knows, not even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only Allah ta'ala knows. But we should be preparing for that. And one easy way to prepare, Allahu Akbar. One sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when will be the day of Qiyamah? Let me know when is the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what you worried, when is the day? What did you prepare for it? Are you preparing for it? Are you ready for the day of Qiyamah? Like we want to know when it's exams, but we're not even preparing for the exam. That's a foolish student. So if you prepare, then you don't even worry when is the date. When the date comes, you are ready for your exam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, did you prepare anything? He said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't prepare any extra nafal ibadat. My faraz I'm doing, my sunnat, the sunnati muakkada, my wajib I'm doing. But extra nafal, I don't have much tahajjud, I don't have much extra ibadat in my life. But what have I got in me, in my heart? I love Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lot, a lot. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this glad tidings, al-mar'u man ahabba. If you have got the love of Allah and the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be with those who you love on the day of Qiyamah. And to say it is easy, but we have to show it out. The sign of love is, al-muhibbu limay yuhibbu muti'un. Whoever you love, that person you will follow. Nobody have to tell you. Our my Sheikh says so beautifully, today you see the youngsters, they're wearing different type of fashionable clothing. Why? Imitating certain sports star, certain sportsmen, cutting their hair in different styles. And they think they're in style, but they're not in style in reality. Our Dada Sheikh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahab rahmatullah used to say, many people like to be up to date. And up to date in the sense that they just keep a small beard, just a pencil type of beard. And they like to have suit and tie, that if they meet with big businessmen, directors, etc., they can fit in that company. They also big, like big gentlemen. And if they have to meet some alims also, so they got one small fashionable beard, so they feel, now we can meet the alim also. No problem. Hazrat says, don't worry to be up to date, my friend. Worry of your expiry date. When you expire in the qabr, you have to ask, and you have to recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How are you going to recognize Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So let us not be fooled. And our Shaykh says, not only the youngsters, today tum pachpan ho gai, abhi bachpana nahi gai. You 55, you 60, you're already on your way to the qabr, but you're still like a child. You still worry of the sports, you still worry of the cricket scores, you still worry of going out to the shopping malls and just passing your time. Worry of going out to the resorts and passing your time, and not worried of akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qiyamah is right in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allahu Akbar, إِنَّ عَمْرُ السَّاعَةِ كَلَامِ الْبَصَرِ أَوْ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ. The matter of Qiyamah is so close, it's before even winking your eye, even closer than that is Qiyamah. But we think, no, I still got long life. I'm still a youngster. I must still enjoy myself. I must still get involved in sports. I must still look at the girls on the street and enjoy myself. So be prepared for your qiyamah. That is more important. And what Allah has got for you in store, you can't imagine. The enjoyment you'll get on the day of qiyamah. What entertainment, what party you'll get on the day of qiyamah. If you stayed away from the parties of this world that were against the shariat, mixing with girls, etc., on the day of qiyamah, you'll get grandstand treatment. You'll get a party by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing Allah said, nobody knows the day of qiyamah when it's going to come. But the prelude, that is before every big occasion, something happens, you start preparing. Somebody is getting married, he's already preparing his home, he's preparing his bedroom, etc. They're preparing the occasion. But more important than that is the preparation for akhirat. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us this beautiful dua in this month of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That Allah give us barakat, give us blessings in this month of Rajab. What does it mean? Like that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as far as life is concerned, I've got no guarantee that when I make salam to the right, I'll able to make the next salam to the left. My life can go any split moment. But as far as gaining and really having greed for something, to have greed for the year after. To earn your year after and get the true benefit, that is Allah's love. So how to get Allah Ta'ala's love? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, from Rajab, now it's the season now. Sportsmen have got their season, businessmen have got their season, everybody have got different seasons. The season of a believer is now, that now Allah Ta'ala has increased rewards already. That now the month of Rajab has come, remember the special gift that Allah sent with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the gift of Salah. Salah is a very, very great gift that Allah Ta'ala has given directly to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All the other commands, Allah sent the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, go and inform them to keep fast, go and inform them to give their zakat, hajj. When it came to Salah, Allah took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Miraj, to show the position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, and to show how great this gift is. So we should appreciate the gift of Salah, especially while we are young. We have just become matured. See that we make a firm pledge with Allah. I won't miss one namaz in my life. And that person who has kept his namaz intact, his whole deen will be intact. If your deen is intact, Allah will look after your dunya. Allah will give you a nice, comfortable life. And your real life, akhirat, you'll enjoy yourself there. So anyway, with regard to Qiyamah, we should be preparing for it. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَيُنَذِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. When rain is going to come down, how many drops of rain, etc., only Allah Ta'ala knows. All the scientists in the world and all the weather forecasts, they can forecast whatever they want to, but 90% of their forecast is totally wrong. Only Allah knows the forecast. So don't worry of the forecast. Many times you want to go somewhere, we're looking at the forecast, we become despondent. Don't become despondent. Even the news we listen, we become despondent. Don't become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is in control of the weather. Allah is in control of everything. So much so, whatever the weather conditions are, we shouldn't be overtaken and start passing bad remarks with regard to the weather. Many times we got a soccer tournament, and now it's raining, or the weather it's cold, then we say, hey, what's wrong with this weather? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا تسبوا الدهر. Don't swear the weather, don't swear the time, because indirectly you're swearing Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala knows what condition to send down. If we obey Allah's command, Allah will send good weather to us. We disobey Allah Ta'ala's command, today the whole world is complaining that throughout the world, not only here, that the winters were very severe. Throughout the world, different places, everywhere they're complaining that this year's weather pattern was very severe. Lot of floods, lot of snow, lot of extreme cold, etc. But we don't complain that how we are appreciating the commands of Allah. Our masjids are empty, that we're not worried. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come in my ummah that people will perform their salah as if we are doing a favor to Allah. Allah doesn't need a favor from us. What favor does Allah need from us when Allah is only favoring us all the time? Allah is favoring us tremendously. So much so that some of us think that we are doing Allah a favor to be Muslims. Never ever think like that. Allah Ta'ala says, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا كُلَّا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. That, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some of the villagers, they come, they accept Islam, and then they make Ihsan Jatlana. They try and show you and tell you that we did you a favor. Now Islam has increased, more numbers. Tell them that you can't make ihsan jatlana. You can't show that you have done a favor to Allah or His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, Islam is a great gift from Allah. And a great, then after that, to protect this Islam, to keep it alive, our iman, more important than anything in the world, is to look after our iman. That Allah Ta'ala must be in the heart all the time. We should realize that my life is in control of Allah. My honor, my respect, my dignity, it's not according to what degree I have got. It's not according to what type of clothes I wear, what car I drive, how strong my iman is. That is my honor in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to protect that iman, Allah has given the gift of salah. So anyway, we should realize and understand, Allah Ta'ala sends down the weather patterns according to our actions. The third thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, nobody knows, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, that what is in the womb of that mother who's going to give birth, nobody knows whether there is a child or there isn't a child, whether it's going to be a male or a female. Today with all technology, doctors can tell you it's a boy, it's a girl. 90% of the time they have made mistakes in that also. But in any case, before the child is formed, before 4 months and 10 days, the child is already formed in the womb of the mother. And who has formed the child? The doctor didn't know what was happening. The gynecologist didn't know. The mother didn't know what was happening. Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. And the factory of Allah is so unique. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. Allah Ta'ala says all the factories in the world, the more sophisticated material you are making, the more that factory needs lot of light, because they have to work under light. Allah Ta'ala's factory is manufacturing the most sophisticated machine in the world, this human being. This human being is now manufacturing all technology, all jets, all submarines, and we are astonished. Oh, what a microchip they have manufactured. But we're not astonished who gave you these brains. And where was this brain manufactured? In the womb of your mother. And Allah Ta'ala says in 3 layers of darkness, Allah's factory, which is the greatest factory in the world, it's working in darkness. The darkness of the womb, the darkness of the embryonic sac, and the darkness of the skin that Allah has covered this body. 3 layers of darkness and the child is being formed. So when the child is just the inception of the child takes place, no doctor knows whether it's going to be a boy, whether it's going to be a girl. Only Allah Ta'ala knows. So ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, we should be happy with that. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. No person knows what he's going to earn tomorrow, how much he's going to eat tomorrow, where he's going to eat. That only Allah Ta'ala knows. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, as far as our rozi is concerned, our rizq, that today we are so worried, if I don't have a matric, if I don't have a degree in university, how I'm going to lead my life? How I'm going to pass my life? Before you went to school, how you passed your life? Who gave you food? When you're in the womb of your mother, who gave you food? Did you need a matric certificate before you could get food? Only Allah Ta'ala gave you food. Until you come in the world, there are so many professional people in the world, big degrees and titles behind their name, but they don't even have jobs. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, as far as your rizq is concerned, 40 days before in advance, Allah has written that at this particular day, at this time, you'll be eating at this place. And without realizing, you will reach that place. And you won't even know that you have to reach that place. But Allah is already 40 days advanced. And we are worried that if I don't go to school, I don't go to university, what will happen to me? Allahu Akbar. So let us realize. And as far as our mort is concerned, our death, it's walking right behind us. That is why so beautifully Hakimul Ummat. And why is he called Hakimul Ummat? The real spiritual doctor of the Ummat. So we also have to have contact with the spiritual doctors who are called the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah, the Mashayikh. Build your contact with one of them. When you look at them, you think of Allah. You see they've got the sunnats in their life. They remind you about Allah. They remind you about the artificialness of this world. How short is this life? The real life is the akhirat. When your heart gets connected to such a person, then connect yourself. He will teach you about Allah. He will teach you how to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
then see the enjoyment of life will be different. You can be a young man, only 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever the case may be. When you get the enjoyment of the zikr of Allah, all sports and all these useless activities will just go out of your life. You won't worry of these entertainments. You'll be looking forward to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا تَدْرِي that as far as your rizq is concerned, only Allah ta'ala is written it. And as far as your mort is concerned, death is right behind you all the time. So Hakim ul-Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned, رَحْ كِسْ دُنْيَا مَنْ زَيْبَا نَهِي insan ko غَفْلَتْ Maut ka dhyan har waqt usko lazim hai. That it's not becoming that you live in this world. Allah has sent you here for a very temporary, short time, but actually to prepare for your real life, and that is akhirat. So he says, when you come in the world, don't be unmindful. One day I have to leave the world. And death is such a subject that even an atheist who says he doesn't believe in God, but Allah says when he lands up in a thunderstorm, he lands up in a difficult situation, then he cries to nobody but to Allah Ta'ala. But sadly, after Allah Ta'ala gives him salvation, takes him out of his dangerous and terrible condition, he forgets Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we shouldn't be forgetting Allah. When it's time for exams, we don't have a job, then we are in the masjid, then we are making tahajjud, we're making du'as. The moment we get a job, the moment exams are over, we forget about Allah. Then we think, no, I achieved it. I worked very hard. I studied very hard. I found this job, etc. It's not my ability. It's nobody's ability. It only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us understand and realize, even an atheist, he doesn't believe in Allah, so to say. But when it comes to the subject of mort, of leave, of dying, he also has to believe that I have to die one day. But sadly, we all believe we have to die, but we're not preparing for that. We're preparing for everything else that is temporary, but our real life, that we're not preparing for it. In the time of Harun al-Rashid, he was a very, very great pious king. So there was a person in his time who was called a Majzub. A Majzub is like a mad person. That is, he's not cared, he's not mad. He's madly in love with Allah. He's got the love of Allah so much that he's not really worried about his house. He's not really worried about jobbing, etc. Although, that is a different condition. It doesn't mean we don't have to work. It doesn't mean we don't have to study. We have to do all this, but realize, end of the day, we have to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't put your trust in anything of this world. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a Majzub who was madly in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are excused people. So he, Bahlul, was a Majzub in the time of Harun al-Rashid. And he had a close connection with the king also. The king knew he was a very pious man. But everybody used to call him a madman. He's a madman. And sadly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, learn to make the zikr of Allah so much that people will say you mad. That you are a youngster, you like to make zikr of Allah. You've got a spiritual guide, a sheikh. He teaches you how to make zikr. Other your friends are gone to tournament, sports tournament, etc. You're not interested. They'll tell you mad. Let them say you mad. When you pass away, they will see who's really mad. They were mad. They were made to waste their time in the sports ground, etc. A person who sits in the masjid, a person who listens to lectures, a person who just sits at home and save himself from all the fitnas, all the activities of this world which will make you unmindful of Allah, that is not a madman. That is a lover of Allah. So Bahlul was like a madman. People thought he's mad. Even the youngsters used to joke or make a fool of him, etc. So one day Bahlul went to visit the king, and the king had a white small stick. And the king told him that, Bahlul, if you take the stick, if there's anybody more stupid than you, if you find him anywhere, give him the stick. Otherwise, you keep it for you. Bahlul didn't get angry, not like me and you. Somebody tell me, you're very stupid, take this. You get upset. I'm not stupid. I'm very intelligent. But who are the intelligent people? Allah Ta'ala says, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard, wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar, la ayati li ulil albab. In the changing of the day and night, when day comes and morning comes and night comes, then this is all the signs of Allah. It's not natural, just a natural phenomena. No scientists have got any activity and got no permission to interfere in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ayat, Allah says these are clear, clear signs to recognize Allah. But we get up in the morning, who of us reads the dua, Alhamdulillah, allazi ahyana. Alhamdulillah, and when you see the sun rising, the dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, Alhamdulillah, alladhi aqalana yawmana hadha, walam yuhlikna bi zunubina. Oh Allah, you gave me another day in return. Although my sins are such, you're supposed to have destroyed me. You gave me another day. The night comes, there's a dua for the night. So all this Allah Ta'ala says, inna fi zalika al-ayati li-ulil albab. These are clear signs for those people of intelligence. That now when they see the sun rising, they say, Subhanallah, what a beautiful scenery. Scientists, what they say? A breathtaking sight. Oh, and they thank the mountains, they thank the sun. What can the sun do? What can the mountains do? These are all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah Rabbul Izzat. What a beautiful scene, O Allah, you have showed me. In the evening when the sun is setting, what a beautiful scene. All this, if the scenes are so beautiful, then how beautiful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us understand and realize, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system, that the intelligent people are those people who realize this and they engage in the zikr of Allah, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are real intelligent people. And an intelligent person is that person who will be preparing for his death. So Behlul took that stick. He didn't have any objections. He kept it for 1-2 years. After 2 years, he heard that the king is quite ill, that he's almost, it looks like he's going to leave the world. So he went to visit the king. He got permission. The king allowed him. He was a close friend of the king. When he went to visit the king, then he asked, oh king, that tell me, in this world, you normally go on hunting trips. You used to go on hunting trips. He said, yes, I used to go on hunting trips. Then he asked the king, that before you used to go for hunting, do you used to make any preparation? He said, yes, complete preparation. 3-4 months before time, I tell all my ministers, all my assistants, start making preparation. Find out about the place. Get everything ready. Get the food. Get the security. Get all the vehicles. Everything. Complete preparation. 4 months before time, all the preparation is made before the hunting trip. So he said, the king, Allahu Akbar, that for hunting you made so lot preparation. Now, O king, you are leaving this world. You're going to Akhirat. You're going to your next life. Did you prepare for that? He says, no, Bahlul, I didn't prepare for that. Then Bahlul took out that stick and he gave it to the king. He said, oh king, if that is the case, there isn't a more stupid man than you. That for this world you prepare so much, any ordinary trip, any ordinary tournament, so lot preparation, but preparation for the next world, we haven't prepared for it. How stupid it is when we come into the qabr, while you involved in your sports, while you involved in your big business, this deal, that deal. Allah Ta'ala says, if you're not conscious, you have to leave this world. No problem, you can do business also. You can study also. But das baka dil bayar. Work, but don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah gave me this brains, Allah gave me this ability. It's time for salah, leave everything and come to salah. That is an intelligent person. Not that you're just working all the time, 24/7, all the time just busy. And what you busy? Wasting your time in sports, wasting your time in all the activities of this world. And like Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَةً. That those people who wasting their time in deviated actions, getting involved in sports, getting involved in certain activities, and this matches, and getting involved in these parties, and what shaitan fools us and say, that now you won a match, you get a trophy, you get a medal. What is that medal going to help you in the qabr? Can you take your trophy in the qabr and show the angels that I won a trophy, that I have to pass? All that Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَّةً. You think you're doing something very good, but that is the height of stupidity. You're wasting your time in stupid actions, and you think, I've got an achievement. That is how shaitan has fooled us, have beautified the outward actions. An intelligent person is like Behlul. He used to think of Allah. He made the king also realize that, oh king, you passed your life, you didn't prepare. So how much shouldn't we be realizing that maut ka dhyan har waq usko lazim hai. Jab aate bashar kehte usko qaza, main bhi peeche chale aa raha hu, zara sambal ke chalo. When a person comes in the world, already your mort, your death is giving you a notice that I am walking behind you. But tread properly, be careful which places you are going. If you don't take heed of the commands of Allah, you're not interested in salah, you're not interested in learning deen, etc., then Allah Ta'ala says you'll be involved in all your activities of this world. And hatta in Arabic comes for shock, that all of a sudden. And not only Allah said hatta, Allah stressed it even more. Hatta iza jaa ahadahumul maut qala rabbi irji'uni la'alli a'malu salihan fima taraktu kalla innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha wa min wara'ihim barzakhun ila yawmi yub'athun. Allah Ta'ala says, hatta, all of a sudden, either you're playing a match, either you're doing a big deal, either you're involved in illicit haram affairs, which is the worst thing you can be involved in, and all of a sudden, Malakul Maud, the angel of death comes by, it's your time to go now. Now all of a sudden you'll say, Qala Rabbi irji'uni, Allah, just give me 2 minutes. Just give me a respite. 5 minutes, I'll make wuzu, I'll make tawbah, I'll change my life. Allah says, Kalla, never ever. We gave you enough time. We gave you enough time to play. We gave you enough time for everything. But you didn't realize. Qala Rabbi irji'uni la'alli a'malu salihan fima taraktu kalla. That, oh Allah, the good deeds I left behind. I heard the ulama telling us that we should prepare. We should perform salah. I was unmindful. Now I realize the value of it. It's too late. Allah says, inna kalimatun huwa qailuha. Those were words you said. Many times you sit in a bayan, in a program, it comes in your heart, I must change my life. Immediately, that is a magnet that is pulling you from Allah. Make tawbah in your heart. Make istighfar. Ask Allah, please forgive me. I want to change my life. Now just make a little effort. And the easiest way, kunum as-sadiqeen. Connect yourself with the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And learn about Allah. Then see, as you make your zikr daily, you make tilawat of Quran Sharif, then easy to surpass all the attractions of this world. The worldly attractions will not attract you and delude you. You will realize what Allah has got in store for me in Jannat. Allahu Akbar. That's a subject on its own we can't imagine. The woman of Jannat that Allah has prepared for us. The food, the party, the entertainment. The music of Jannat, the cars, the sports of Jannat, water sports, etc. What can you get in this world? In this world, any sports, even ordinary sports you're playing, you're scared of an injury. You'll get injured. What will happen? You break your leg, you break your hand. In Jannat, there's no scare of anything whatsoever. And in Jannat, everything just increases all the time. The beauty increases all the time. Here in this world, there's a nice party. Everything is laid out. All the food. And like my Shaykh says, we eat with our eyes. You're sitting on the one end of the table, but already you saw what's on that side. That I mustn't miss that samosa there. I must get that. And the way we concentrate while we're eating, that somebody is passing the food from behind. We are in so much muraqabah, that is concentration, that the poor man will stand. We won't even take the plate from him. So our Shaykh says, if you give 10% of that concentration that you concentrate while eating, give 10% of that to namaz, to your ibadat, and see the value will increase. So anyway, what Allah has got for us in Jannat, we can't imagine, respected elders and friends. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that listen here, prepare for that time. Don't waste your time. Don't get caught. Don't get caught just all of a sudden. And now you want to beg Allah ta'ala to send you back. Allah has given us time all the time. All the time Allah has given us. And Allahu Akbar. Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi was traveling, a very pious man. He was traveling with his disciples, with his murids, that is people who joined him to learn the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they came across one area, they saw children playing, and it's not natural, children should be playing, especially the age between 1 and 7 years. That's the time they should be playing and enjoying their life, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said from 1 to 7 years, let them play. Allah has given them that age. When they come to 7 years old, start commanding them to perform namaz. Just tell them, start reading namaz, so they get in the habit. When they come to 10 years, you should reprimand them. Give them a warning, give them a scolding, give them a little hiding if they don't want to form namaz from 10 years. Why? By the time they become mature, 13, 14, 15, they're in the habit of namaz. They know, and now their intelligence become matured with namaz. Your intelligence also starts building up properly. So now when you're performing, in the start you are reading namaz 7 to 10, that was just for show, just showing. When your father sees you, start sees you, you stand in namaz. When Maulana is reading Qirat, you playing at the back, that doesn't matter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't worry. Let that action be for show. In the start, anything is for show. But as you do it regularly, from 10 years, it will become a habit. Now it will become part of your life. that once you 10 years already, 3 years you already in the practice of namaz, now you will tell your father, you will tell everybody in the house, azan is going, let's go for namaz. It became part of your life. And then when you matured, your intelligence has become, and when this tarbiyat is made, then by the time a boy becomes 13, 14, 15 years, he is an intelligent boy. He can start leading his life already. A girl, 12, 13, she can already start looking after the house. But sadly today, our boys, our girls, 10, 12, 13, they're still in the schools. They're still out of their homes. They still don't even know how to boil an egg. We still don't even know, Allahu Akbar, the simple things, how to make ghusl. And we think we're very intelligent. So let us understand and realize who we are. So that child, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, that already teach that child. From 7 years, he must start performing namaz. So anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that your children also, give them the tarbiyat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that remember, as far as your rozi is concerned, as far as your rizq is concerned, that you don't have to make much worry and fikr. What you have to worry is when malakul maut is going to come to you. You must be ready, you must be prepared. Even if you are youngster, don't waste your time too much in sports, etc. Especially when you become matured. I was explaining the incident of Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullahi. He went with his group of people, they came across one village, some children were playing. One young girl was sitting one side and she wasn't playing. She must have been 10, 12 years old. So Malik ibn Dinar called her and he said, why are you not playing? All the other girls are playing. It's your age to play. She said, Allahu Akbar. What an astonishing answer she gave. She said, did Allah send us in the world to play? He said, you're still young. Allah has sent you. Now it's time to play. She says, if Allah Ta'ala has sent me in the world to play, then I'm scared of the fire of Jahannam. He says, why you have to be scared? You still a young child. Allah won't throw you in the fire of Jahannam. She took a lesson. She says, I see when my mother used to make fire and she wants to start the fire, she first breaks the planks, the wood. She breaks it into small pieces and she put the small pieces first and she lights the small pieces. Then when the fire starts burning, then she put coal, then she put the bigger pieces of wood. So I worried Allah mustn't start the fire of Jahannam with people like me. Small children first. So we should understand and realize, it doesn't mean when you're small you can't play. You should be playing, but don't play those games that make you unmindful. Don't play like my Shaykh says, we're only worried of soccer. What is soccer in reality? Soccer is 22 people kicking one pig skin from one pole into another pole. And then 50,000 people on the grandstands are clapping hands. 2 million people on the TV screen are all clapping hands, whereas the game has been fixed already. They have bought out that game, they played the players already, and we like stupid fools running after those things. Let us realize and understand who we are. So very quickly I'll just give the brief translation of the ayat I've recited. Time is already up. I didn't even mention the sunnat which I mentioned, that very important we should bring alive the sunnats of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, one simple sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to use the miswak. Today we all, everybody make sure he uses his toothbrush and toothpaste. How many of us use the miswak? Whereas miswak is such a great, important sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For your health, how beneficial it is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that a person who uses this miswak, his brains will become very, very sharp and alert. It will strengthen your eyesight. It will strengthen your teeth. It will strengthen your whole body. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned with regard to miswak, as far as deen is concerned, a person who uses the miswak when he made wuzu and he read namaz, his 2 rakats namaz is equal to 70 times more than a person who did not use the miswak. But today, who of us use the miswak? And we all say, Maulana, make dua, I must become hafiz, I can't learn my sabak properly. Start using the miswak with the intention of sunnat, that this was the sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So realize, these are, and shaitan is too cool, too good. The sunnats he wants to take away, and he puts exchanges. He brings a toothbrush and toothpaste. No problem, the ulama didn't say it's haram. But these days, they are catching us with such of their tricks that many of the toothbrushes are made from bristles from pig hair, and we don't even know. And we're using the toothbrush, and we say very, very good. Many toothpaste has got fluoride, and fluoride actually is very, very harmful for the teeth. And they say, no, very, very good for the teeth. Whereas miswak has got 2 chemicals, phosphate and phosphorus. Phosphate is very, very good for all the joints of your body. Phosphorus is very good for your brains. And look, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what a great psychologist, what a scientist. He didn't have to give us all the details. He just told us the value. Use this miswak. Use this miswak. The Guru Nanak of the Sikhs, he used to tell his followers that use this. If you use this, you'll be saved from sickness. Imagine, he's not a Muslim, but he encourages his followers to use this, you'll be saved from diseases. We shouldn't use it to be saved from diseases. We should be using it because it's the sunnah of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let us love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There can't be a more beautiful man, a more handsome man, a more better way to love than the life of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So from today, we all make a firm intention. I'm getting a miswak, inshallah, and daily I will use the miswak. And I will be punctual on my namaz also. And what is the reality of this world? Allah Ta'ala just reminds us, I'll just give the brief translation very quickly. I'lamu, that lesson, know very well. And who is telling us? Allah. Allah whose knowledge is complete. Allah has got all the knowledge and complete perfect knowledge. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, look at the cycle of life. I'lamu annama al-hayatu dunya la'ibu wa lahu. That your stages of dunya are like this. When you came in the world, you're still a small child. And when a child is small, what he wants? He wants toys. He wants to play around. He wants to play outside. He wants to play with his bicycle. So Allah Ta'ala says, "I'lamu annama al-hayatu dunya la'ibu wa lahu." That's the first stage of dunya. Just playing around, enjoying yourself. And then, "I'lamu annama al-hayatu dunya la'ibu wa lahu wa zina." The next stage of dunya, now when you become a young man, just got matured, now you worried of your beauty, you worried of your hairstyle. You even putting your, even you becoming hafiz, but you putting your topi at the style, angle. And you must have your French and your fringe hairstyle. And this hairstyle, that everybody is watching me. Nobody is even worried about you. You think everybody is watching you. So now you just worried of beauty. So beautifully a poet has said, Bachpano ne tujhe barso kilaya, jawani ne aakar tujhe majnu banaya. That when you are a small child, then for years Allah gave you time to play. Till 7 years you were enjoying playing in the sand, also playing in the dirt, all that. Then when you became a young man, now you got little strength in that, you became a jawan, that is a youth. And the youth is the most valuable time of your life. Don't waste your youth in the soccer grounds. Don't waste your youth in the clubhouses. Don't waste your youth in the shopping malls. Chawani ne aakar tujhe majnu banaya. When you became a youth, you became like a madman. Now you worried of fashion. Now you worried of hairstyle. Now you worried of cars. Now you worried of trimmings on the cars. This type of mags, this type of car, etc. You became like a madman. So Allah Ta'ala says, that is now you just worried of fashion. All the time, all these different things. إِلَمُ أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ دُنْيَا لَعِبُ وَلَحْ وَزِينَ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. Now when you become a young man, you're just getting married, now you're boasting with one another. That I've got this car, I've got that business, etc. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنُكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Then Allah Ta'ala says, now you reach your peak of your life, you're 40 years, 45, now you're just worried of making money. So when did you have time for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? No time for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is just an outward foolery. It is just an outward deception. Like a farmer getting very happy, my crops, I planted the seed. Then the shoots are coming out. Then it's getting firm. A rain comes and Allah Ta'ala says, we send one thunderstorm and wipe out everything. So like the poet says, Bachpano ne tujhe barso kilaya, jawani ne aakar tujhe majnu banaya, burhapa ne aakar tujhe kya kya sataya. Now when you became an old man, now you can't even move. You have, my shaykh says so beautifully, old people, they have to take so many different gas to even get up. See. Now they can't move. But that Allah is so kind. That youngster who grew up in the obedience of Allah, he grew up in tilawat, in his namaz, etc. Now you become an old man, you can't make so much ibadat. Allah Ta'ala tells the angels that write down full reward for him. Who taught the world pension? What does the world know about pension? What does the world know about sick leave? What does the world know about, Allahu Akbar, travel allowance? All this Allah Ta'ala taught. That when you work for the company of Allah, when you perform your namaz from the time you matured, you work in the company of Allah, if you get sick, you can't read all your sunnah, nafal, you're very sick, just read your four farz, even at home, but read your namaz, Allah gives you the full reward. Tell the angels, give him full reward. You can't make your full tilawat for that day, you get the full reward. If you're going on safar, 78 kilometers or more, Allah says, we give you discount. Namaz is maaf. Not maaf, it's half. They listen properly. Many people hear that Mauli Sahab said namaz is maaf. It's not maaf. Allah made it half. Now 4 faras of Zohar, you only have to read 2 faras, you get the full reward of it. This is how kind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us realize and understand, Allah has given us this beautiful life, and Allah says, O insan, we made you the best of all creation. If you realize that you are the best of all creation, to remain the best, Allah has taken 4 qasams in Surah 318, wateen wa zaytun. That is the olive and the fig. In other words, Allah has given a general rule. If you want to remain healthy, then halal under all costs, but eat healthy and pure food. Don't eat all this junk food, what we are buying all the time, burgers and all this, and then we are complaining of sickness, and then we are complaining of headaches, and we can't study. All this junk food will make you a junkie. Eat healthy and good food, you'll be a strong man. And then to be healthy spiritually, which is more important, more than your body, more than you're worried of going to the gym, more than you're worried of exercises, worry of your spiritual exercises. That how to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that Allah ta'ala taught us, وَتُورِ سِنِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. That is, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given the Torah. Whoever followed the footsteps of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they made contact with the friend of Allah, they became the friends of Allah. Whoever made contact with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they sat in his company, sahbat, they sat in his company, they became sahaba, great men, Allah says rijal. So till today, this is the principle of Allah. If you want to become the great man of tomorrow, and all of us, then we should build contact, Allah says, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Be with the true and pious servants of Allah. Build your contact with them, visit them, make somebody your spiritual guide, let him teach you how to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When your soul is healthy and you have to leave the world, your soul will go with a big entourage. 500 angels from Jannat will come to take your soul with so much honor, with a kafan of Jannat, with a bouquet of flowers and beautiful smell, and they will take your soul to Jannat. And if you didn't make your connection with Allah, then the angels of hell and that whole entourage will come, and frightening and scary angels will come and take you. So Allah Ta'ala didn't send us here to waste our life. Allah Ta'ala has sent us here to become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us get connected to the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go out in the path of Allah, but not just to pass time. Our Shaykh says, I'll end off with this. Our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, sadly today people want to pass time, and even in the month of Ramadan, especially here we'll say the days are very long and it's very hot. Let us go pass time. And where we pass time? In the parks, where women are walking around nakedly, scantily, and we looking at the woman and we think we're passing our time. Or we're watching a movie, or we're watching test match cricket, or we're playing soccer and we're saying we pass time. Hazrat says, when Malakul Maut comes to you, you'll see you didn't pass your time, you failed your time. Now you'll say, Allah, give me time, let me go and make up my time. Then you can't make up your time. So while Allah has given us life, realize this is a great gift from Allah. Build our iman by being punctual with our namaz, and make contact with the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ahlullah. Then see, enjoyment in this life is different. What enjoyment you'll get in the qabr, what enjoyment you'll get on the day of qiyamah, and forever in Jannat, you'll just enjoy yourself. We'll all try, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة المتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا مولانا محمد وعلى لسان أجمعين. Oh most gracious, most beloved Allah, whatever has been said and heard, oh Allah, put the reality in our hearts, Ya Allah. Let us realize you have made us very, very honorable creation, Ya Allah. Let us live up to that honor, Ya Allah. And let us realize that honor lies only in obeying your commands and following the Mubarak sunnats of your beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaitan has beguiled us, Ya Allah, with all the fashions of this world, and our nafs has become attracted to that, Ya Allah. Please purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Take us out from all the attractions of this world, and let us get attracted to the beloved lifestyle of your beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us live such a life that you are extremely happy and pleased with us, Ya Allah. Let us die in that way, and let us be raised tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah in such a way that you are pleased, and you make our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pleased with us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us a means of hidayat for the entire universe, Ya Allah. People who haven't yet accepted Islam, give them hidayat also, Ya Allah. And save us from nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. And let us pass away in such a way that you are extremely happy with us. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Jazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammadan sallallahu ta'ala isma wa ahlu. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.
سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك.